Study Guide 1. What you want to remember from Chapter 1 is the nature of scientific method, which we covered extensively in Lab 1. So looking at that information on the study guide, you're going to want to be able to apply that the same way you did in your homework questions. Remember those 7 properties of life, that all living organisms must display all of those to be considered alive by scientists. The only thing on the list that is probably a new word to you is homeostasis. So that is a vocabulary word with the meaning listed. We remember the drawings that have been on the board repeatedly. We remember how atoms form molecules and those go together to make organelles. Those 4 molecules are the 4 friends, and those organelles are what we draw on the board every time. So you're going to want to understand what those are and how those go together to make organisms that are living individuals. So whether that's a single cell like a prokaryote or a multicellular organism, eukaryote like us. We remember that these small units are the only kind that can survive independently. They can function by themselves. We can't have a cell without other cells. Those cells go together to form descendant cells, depending on what kind we have. Out of the 3 domains of life, you're only responsible for knowing 2, and you should know by now very clearly that difference between prokaryote and eukaryote. And we remember when we're looking at biology as a whole, every living thing is either a producer or a consumer. So producers can do photosynthesis and they are able to sustain their life in the presence of sunlight, while consumers must eat producers or something else that ate a producer. That brought us to Chapter 2, where we reviewed everything about matter taking up space and matter being composed of elements. Those elements, the 6 that are the most common to life are chomps, and knowing those will be part of the exam. All atoms are composed of 3 parts, a proton and a neutron that are held closely together in the nucleus, and an electron that is very small and orbits those very quickly so that no one can know its exact location at any given time. A proton is what gives an atom its name on the periodic table. An element is defined by the number of protons in its nucleus. And so that definition can lead to characteristics. On the periodic table, those that are on the far right side are the noble gases. They're very, very stable because their electron shells are full. Molecules are any group of atoms that are held together in stable association. That is essential to life as we know it. Water is a common molecule that is found in life, and it has a lot of important properties, including cohesion, that ability of it to stick to itself. pH is the negative logarithm of hydrogen ions. We reviewed that extensively in Chapter 2, and we remember that neutral solutions and generally the interior of a cell is going to be kept at a neutral pH of 7. In Chapter 2, you're responsible for 3 kinds of bonds: ionic, covalent, and hydrogen. So know those 3. The 4 friends, or the 4 biological macromolecules, are carbohydrates, protein, nucleic acid, and lipid. You need to know for all of them except lipid, the monomer and the polymer, for each one of them the function. You also need to be able to recognize them. So any monomer is one single unit that can go together to form a polymer by dehydration synthesis, and we had talked about that extensively throughout the PowerPoint, so refer to that chart. It's available in the study guide, and it's available through Blackboard. When you open the chapter overview tab, make sure you know that chart. The only thing you're not responsible for knowing are the monomer and polymer of lipid. That's why they're shown in italics. We can't see cells with our naked eye, so both light and scanning electron microscopes allow us to see cells. Today in our lab, we looked in a light microscope. We were able to see some cells. We remember the difference between prokaryote and eukaryote for the exam. Plants are eukaryotes. They have all the structures we've been drawing on the board, and plus 2 more you are responsible for. We remember that when we draw those cells, whether they're prokaryote or eukaryote, they have a membrane, and that membrane is almost all phospholipids. So my friend Fatty lined up tail to tail, and there will be proteins embedded in those structures. They're very loose, and they allow a cell to have its spherical shape. A nucleus is going to be found inside each eukaryotic cell. It contains the DNA. It is where the genetic information for any cell is stored, and it can be seen with a microscope like we have in our lab. A ribosome is an address. It is outside the nucleus. It is a location where proteins are assembled. So those ribosomes can be free-floating out in the cytoplasm, or they can be embedded in the ER. That's what makes it rough ER. Golgi is a processing center. It is a location to package and distribute molecules. Sometimes we call it the UPS of the cell. The lysosomes are where cellular digestion or recycling would occur, so we can break things down into their component parts and use them again. Mitochondria are unique because they have their own DNA. They are the only part of our cells that we inherit directly from our mothers only, and they are responsible for the capture and release of energy. Chloroplasts and vacuoles are not in our cells. They are the two you're responsible knowing for plants. Chlorophylls contain chlorophylls contain chlorophyll, which they are where photosynthesis happens, and vacuoles just contain liquid environment inside the cell. They help the cell maintain its shape. The cytoskeleton is something that is in every cell that we do not draw on the board. It is such a complicated network of proteins that it would cover up everything we had drawn, and you'll want to remember those details about the cytoskeleton and its role for your exam.